Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today I want us to meet three different people, each with his own problem to conquer, and the point's going to be, try not to be these people. Would you take out your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 9, and let's pray before we begin. Father in heaven, we pray now your Holy Spirit would teach us through this old event that happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus and the disciples walked down the street and met three different people. Lord, just help us to hear from you and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Person number one, we're looking at Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. And as they, Jesus and the disciples, were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," he's talking about himself, "has nowhere to lay his head." Person number one was too quick, too impetuous. He's ready to jump on this bandwagon, having no idea where the bandwagon is going. So Jesus tells him, look, you're not going to have any rest if you follow me. They kicked me out of Samaria in verse 53. At the end of the book of Luke, they're going to crucify me. You sure you want to join this bandwagon? The first problem to conquer is the view that Christianity is a rose garden. It's going to be Disneyland to follow Jesus. You do get Disneyland after you die, but if you follow Christ now in this world, it'll be tough. Because when you stand for Christ in this world, the world goes after you. I'll tell you what I thought of. I was 28 years old, a young preacher. I moved to Minneapolis to get my new church in Minneapolis. And I joined the Minneapolis Area Synod of the very liberal Lutheran denomination up here. And some of my fellow pastors didn't believe in hell. You don't have to believe in Christ to be saved. Some of them prayed to God the Mother. Some of them thought gay sex, abortion, just fine. And so every year, a little group of conservative pastors and I would go to our conventions. We'd get to the microphones and say, shouldn't we follow the Bible on these things? And yearly, we kind of got beat up. We never won. And as I look back on those difficult years, I think I was doing exactly what God wanted me to do. We're supposed to suffer for Christ. It's not supposed to be easy. The problem with American Christianity, it's way too comfortable. A man by the name of William MacDonald wrote these words years ago. What did Jesus mean when he said you must forsake all to be his disciple? It means an abandonment of all one's material possessions that are not absolutely essential and that could be used in the spread of the gospel. How can we conscientiously hoard extra funds when the money could be used right now for the salvation of souls? How can we conscientiously pray to the Lord to provide finances for Christian work when we ourselves have the money that we are not willing to use for this purpose? So for man number one, don't be too quick. Count the cost. Here's a Japanese woman, a teacher in Japan. She's a Christian woman. Doesn't make much money. She has an elderly mother that she takes care of. But every month, she writes a big check for missions. And somebody who knew her situation said, "That's too hard for you." And she replied, "I want it to be hard." So as we look at man number one, I think we all need to get on our knees and say, God, help me not want to be comfortable. Is there something hard for you that you want me to do? Next, we look at man number two. We're in Luke chapter 9, looking at verse 59. And Jesus said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Man number one was too quick. Man number two's problem, he was too slow. Man number one didn't count the cost of following Christ. Man number two is so busy counting the cost of following Christ, he forgets to count the cost of not following Christ. Let me say that again. Some people are so concerned about the cost of following Christ, they forget what happens if you don't follow Christ. So these are two different men with two different temperaments. So Jesus gives a very different word to each man. One commentator said this, "The Lord knows that this man, man number two, must choose at once, or without doubt he will never choose. And he deals with him, therefore, with all the strictness, but at the same time, with all the wisdom of love." So Jesus says to man number two, "Don't go to your father's funeral. Follow me." Well, how do we understand this? Because Jesus says, the Bible says, love your honor your father and mother. And Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Timothy 5, those who don't provide for their own families, they are worse than unbelievers. And in here, Jesus says, even a more difficult verse is what he says in chapter 17. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So what is going on in those verses? Well, I think it's this. Are we to love our parents? Yes. Do we go to our father's funeral? Overwhelmingly, yes. But I think Jesus is saying, if your love for your family is stronger than your love for me, you need to put me above your family. I'll tell you what I thought of. We've had on this TV program Doug and Joanne Redunzel, missionaries to Eastern Europe. Many years ago, Doug and Joanne were planning to move to Germany to spread the gospel. Everything's ready, and Doug's mother gets sick. And if I remember right, they didn't know if it would be months or years, but Doug and Joanne prayed about it, and they went to Germany. I think they did right. When Jesus says you must hate your father and mother, I think what he means is this. Your love for me should be so strong that your love for your family looks like hatred in comparison. So to one person, God says, go to Germany. To another person who maybe wants to go to Germany, God says, no, you go home. You remember the story where Jesus cast demons out of the man and the man runs up, Jesus, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, you go home and tell your family what I have done for you. So whether he tells you to go overseas, whether he tells you to stay and bloomer your planted, the point is, if you're truly a disciple, you're willing to do either one. But mentally, Christian, our bags should always be packed. We should always be willing to do whatever he tells us to do next. And here's the incentive. Here's why we should be willing to move. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 18. There is no man who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the kingdom of God who will not receive manifold more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. And thinking about how strict Jesus was, saying, let somebody else bury your family. Here's what one commentator said about the strictness of Christ in this verse. Who has ever demanded more? But who also has promised more and rendered a greater reward than Christ? And in that which he himself demands of others, he himself has gone before in his own self-denial. So, point of man number two is, don't let some competing affection keep you from Christ. I mean, if you're If you're a young woman and your boyfriend's an unbeliever, you don't marry your unbelieving boyfriend. The Bible says if you're a Christian, you wait and you make sure you marry a Christian. Man number two was too quick. Man number two was too slow. Let's look at the third person, verse 61. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Man number two, too quick. One was too quick, two was too slow. The third problem, third person, he was half-hearted. He wants to follow God, but he wants to follow the world. And he's got a divided heart. God owns part of his heart, the world owns the other part, and he's in conflict, and he's not a very happy person. And Jesus basically says, what if a farmer plowed that way? The farmer's plowing his field, and he's always looking over his shoulder backwards. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to be committed. You got to put me first, because if you plow like this, you're going to wreck the farm. Get on the tractor or get off, but be wholehearted. And you remember, later Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You remember that story in the Old Testament? Lot and his wife are fleeing out of Sin City, Sodom. And God says, don't look back. And Lot's wife turns around, looks, and becomes a pillar of salt. How did the Apostle Paul plow? Listen to this from Philippians. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is, I keep my eyes forward and I don't look back at the world. Now, did the Apostle Paul plow perfectly? Did Paul ever sin? Well, yes, because we all are sinners. But when Paul sinned, he repented. When a true Christian sins, you repent. Going like this does not disqualify you. It's plowing and going like this that disqualifies you. All right. Let me close with this. I know a man named Luke. He loves going to church every Sunday. He loves singing the hymns. He loves saying the Lord's Prayer. When the collection plate goes by, he puts a little in there. He's got a lot of money, but he puts a little in the plate. And then he goes home and doesn't think about God for the rest of the week. And he's got his sins that he has no intention of giving up. And he could care less if the man next door knows Christ or not. But in church, he's in church on Sunday morning. Do you know what Luke's last name is? Warm. And Jesus said, Revelation 3, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Would you close your eyes? And I just ask you, wherever you're at, just take a moment, if you would, to close your eyes and ask yourself, am I man number three? Do I have a competing affection in my life that is keeping me from going hard after God? And the cure for half-heartedness, for lukewarmness, is this. Everybody hear this. Lord, I want to put my eyes straight on you and not look back. And Lord, I believe you are the greatest pleasure in the universe. And we only keep our eyes straight ahead if we're convinced that Jesus is a greater treasure than anything that lies behind us. So Lord, help me keep my mind on you, put you as my first love, get caught up in the glory of God so that I don't look backwards. Okay. You can open your eyes, and I want to close by singing an old Lutheran hymn from my old Lutheran hymn book. I grew up with this. This hymn is 400 years old, called Jesus, Priceless Treasure. And just listen to the words. Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Ah, how long in anguish shall my spirit languish, yearning, Lord, for Thee. Thou art mine, O Lamb divine, I will suffer not to hide Thee, ask for not beside Thee. Hence all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whate'er I here must bear, Thou art still my purest pleasure, Jesus, priceless treasure. Let us keep our mind on the greatest pleasure of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and not look back. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question from a viewer today is, could you recommend a good church for me in the Chicago area?
I'm in Minneapolis. I don't know. But I'll tell people just a general rule. For instance, I'm a Lutheran. If you're going to go Lutheran, you probably want to be Missouri Synod Lutheran, AFLC, the Free Lutheran Church, the Wisconsin Synod, the Lutheran Brethren. Those tend to be very biblical churches. Stay miles away from the hyper-liberal evangelical Lutheran church in America. Maybe she's a Presbyterian and wants a Presbyterian church. Then you go to the Presbyterian Church in America, very biblical, and you stay miles away from the Presbyterian Church USA. So just that's kind of what I tell people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My church now has a contemporary worship service, and we sing new songs with the same chorus over and over. I miss the old hymns, and I'm thinking I'm not going to church.
Well, no, you go to church. If you want a traditional church, you find a traditional mm-hmm. church. But I mean, for instance, Mona, here's my hymnal that I grew up with from my old Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, mm-hmm. and I love the old hymns. Mm-hmm. But I also love some of this contemporary worship. Mm-hmm. You know the song, I think it's called Revelation Song. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. I want that at my funeral. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't like it when people have what they call worship wars. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we sing the old hymns? Well, I hope we sing the old hymns. But let the new contemporary hymns get in there too. You know, people have different tastes, but don't let that be an excuse not to go to church. If you absolutely can't stand the new church that yours has become, there's another church in town the Lord wants you to go to. So there you go.
And most churches do have contemporary and traditional services.
Yeah, a lot of
them
do. A lot of them do, yep.
I have a certain sin that I battle, but I keep committing it. I have prayed for God to take it away, but I still fall. It makes me wonder if I am truly a Christian. Can you offer any help? I am really tired of this.
Yeah. Well, if you fall and you repent and you ask God's forgiveness and you get back up, you're a Christian. If you're living in the sin, there's no repentance, there's no sorrow, you're not fighting, mm-hmm. then I think your soul's in danger. And I think this person needs to get accountability in their life. I mean, I have an accountability partner. I think every Christian should have if you're a woman, you get a woman. If you're a man, you get a man. Somebody to pray for you, say, how are you doing on your weak spot? And the Bible says, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. One reason we don't withdraw from the church, we need our Christian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. There's even an accountability by going to church every week mm-hmm. that just kind of keeps you close to the Lord. So if there's a battle going on, keep battling. If there's no battle, you're in trouble.
Okay.
You got to start fighting and getting into a good church.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a conservative Lutheran, but I go to a liberal ELCA congregation. I've been in this church all my life, and I don't want to leave it. Isn't it okay that I stay and try to be a light?
Well, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I don't know much about baking, but if you have some leaven in there, it'll go through the entire lump. And you can, that works both ways. A godly person in a messed up church can do a lot of good. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the evil in a church can affect the good people more than they think. Mm-hmm. So we're in a day and age where go to a good church. Mm-hmm. If your church has gone over the cliff, time to leave. And I'll let me share some good news here, Mona. A lady by the name of Laverne just died and left this TV ministry the biggest donation we've ever had. So now we're going to be able to add more TV stations around the country to add this show so we can preach the gospel to even more people. And I remember Laverne, talked to her maybe on the phone a couple times, but didn't remember her real well. Well, preparing for this sermon, I stumbled across a letter from 8 years ago from Laverne. I think she used to give money to my seminary, Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it's a fundraising letter for, you know, them trying to get support. Well, I preach on this show what happened to my seminary. Mm-hmm. Luther Seminary, when I went there, was moderate to liberal. Today, it's radically liberal. I mean, a couple years ago, they hired a queer theologian. That's what he calls himself. They've had worship services where they do Native American smudging ceremony. They pray to God the Mother sometimes. They have practicing homosexual and transgender preachers periodically. And so I preached on that. Mm-hmm. Well, Laverne sent me this letter 8 years ago on what on Luther Seminary president, her new vision of the future, including transgender, blah, blah, blah. I think what happened? Laverne didn't want to leave her money to Luther Seminary, so she left it to us instead. And I praise God for that. God bless you up there, Laverne. But just, we live in a day and age. Why give your money mm-hmm. to something that is anti-Christian? Exactly. Give your money to a good church, a good mission. Yeah, there you go.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Brock, I appreciate your TV show and enjoy it when you're preaching the Bible. But why do you criticize other churches? Remember, Jesus said, judge not.
Like I just did. But remember, the Jesus who said, judge not, also said, why do you not judge with righteous mm-hmm. judgment? So there's a judging we are not to do, and there is a judging we are supposed to do.
Amen.
So Mona, if I say, you know, Mona, I know you're going to hell, well, that's a judgment. I can't make that judgment. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you're doing stuff you shouldn't, I'm supposed to humbly, the Bible says, rebuke one another. I'm supposed to humbly say, you know, Mona, you shouldn't be doing drugs or fill in the blank. But so there's a judging we're supposed to do, and there's judging we're not supposed to do. The reason I think it's okay for me to talk about heresy in various denominations, mm-hmm. Paul the Apostle does it. Read the book of Galatians. Paul wrote the book of Galatians because there were false teachers in the Galatian church saying you're saved by being circumcised instead of by Christ alone. He wrote the whole letter against that heresy. Mm-hmm. Then read 1 Corinthians. I mean, that church was messed up and they had false teachers. Paul wrote them a letter correcting the false mm-hmm. teaching at Corinth. So I not only think we can do this, we're supposed to do this.
And you're loving by doing that.
Yeah.
You want them to know
it's
the truth.
It's a loving thing I'm doing.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Okay. My boyfriend is not a believer in Christ, but I believe if we get married, I will influence him toward the Lord. I have prayed about it, and this seems right.
Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, don't be unequally yoked mm-hmm. with unbelievers. And it says in 1 Corinthians 7, if you get widowed, you can get remarried only in the Lord. In other words, if your husband, God forbid, should die soon, you can get remarried as a widow. Although Paul says it's better if you can be single, you'll be able to serve the Lord more. But if you do get remarried, that's okay. But you can only get married in the Lord. And mm-hmm. I would say to a young woman, you can only get married in the Lord. If you're a believer, you marry a believer. Well, yeah, but I love him. Okay, and I prayed about it. It seems good. Well, our feelings can lie to us. Mm-hmm. You need to do what the Bible says. If you're a believer, you'll marry a believer. Well, yeah, but I know that I'll influence him toward the Lord. You know women, as I do too, who are in a rough marriage mm-hmm. because they married somebody who never came around to mm-hmm. the Lord. So there you go.
Okay. My friend says that the Bible was written down hundreds of years after Jesus was born and that it was changed by people many times. How do I respond to this?
Well, you know, even atheists who know history know that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. The earliest gospel written was Mark, with, you know, just within a few decades of Christ's death. And the entire New Testament was completed probably by 90 AD or so. That's within 70 years of Christ's death. Mm-hmm. And so if they say, yeah, it was written over hundreds, that's just not true. And plus the other thing, we have so many ancient manuscripts, mm-hmm. of especially the New Testament. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. That's just it's not historically accurate, mm-hmm. to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My friend says she believes in the Bible but doesn't take it literally. She says that there are many parts of the Bible, like not eating pork and shellfish, that we ignore, so we can ignore other parts of the Bible also. Is that right?
Right. So here's what you often get. Well, you know, the Bible says homosexuality is sin. Well, it also says you can't eat shellfish. So, well, no, let's park on this one a moment. The Old and New Testament condemn homosexuality. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament verse that says you can't eat shellfish was given specifically to the Jews in the Old Testament to make them different from the rest of, mm-hmm. the nations. So that is very disingenuous when you hear pastors using that kind of nonsense. Now, we believe in the whole Bible. Some of it is now obsolete because Christ, mm-hmm. died on the cross. We don't have to kill lambs like they had to in the Old Testament. But the moral law of do good, don't do, that has not changed. It's the same. So, and you know, the thing about taking the Bible literally, Mona, I don't know anybody that takes the Bible 100% literally, because there are parables. Mm-hmm. There are things in Scripture that, you know, that are symbolic. So, but overwhelmingly, unless there's a good reason, we take it literally. And but when Jesus told a parable, well, he was making that up. It's a story that we're not supposed to believe literally happened. Mm-hmm. So there's different genre in Scripture. But, well, everybody, there you go. Mona, thanks for asking our questions. And everybody, we're on the program because of the generous support of you, our viewers. If you'd like to be part of that, just go to the website here in a minute, or you can see the address at the end of the program. If you want to watch any of our TV shows for free, just again, go to pastorstudy.org, and I'm supposed to hold this up. We are now on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Threads. So, or you just go to pastorstudy.org and you'll see our show. See you next week.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.